Thank you, Carol. Turn in your Bibles, please, to John chapter 16 as we continue our study through this wonderful gospel account from the Apostle John. We come this morning, and as we look at these first 12 verses or 15 verses, these are words of Jesus. And as we look at the message that Jesus is giving to the disciples in this message today, we see some predictions that Jesus makes, and we know that all of God's predictions come to pass. And first of all, he is going to, as he's talking to the believers, give them some precautions because of some of the predictions, some of the things that are going to happen. He says we need to be careful concerning these things. And then he's going to tell us the purpose of the Holy Spirit. He predicted that when he leaves, the Holy Spirit would come, and then he's going to tell us why the Holy Spirit is coming, and indeed he is here now. So as we look at these, let's look first of all at the precautions. First of all, he gives us some precautions concerning their responses to the Word of Christ. And as the Word of God goes forth, it's going to have some kind of response. People are either going to yield to it, they're going to harden to it. You know, even being indifferent to it is really hardening yourself to it, because when people don't receive God's word there. And so the first response, it says that people will be offended. Let's go to Lord in prayer before we look at this. Father, speak to our hearts through your Holy Spirit and guide us into the truth of the Word of God. Help us to rightly expound the word of truth as the scripture tells us to do, so that as we worship indeed, you would be pleased and speak to our hearts through your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And before I get started, I'll say, if it gets a little bit too cold in here, Matt, if you'll walk back and turn, adjust those thermostats. It was a little bit cold earlier and we adjusted it. So as we look at being offended, here is the word that it uses here. He says, these things have I spoken that you should not be offended. Are people offended today? Well, yeah, people seem to be offended at all kinds of things there. But whenever we think of the way the word offended is used today, if you look in the dictionary, you'll see two different meanings. And one of the meanings means to irritate, annoy, and anger. And sometimes people are irritated and annoyed and angered at anything you say or do, any positions you take. But that's not what it's talking about here. The word that is translated offended here is the Greek word skandalon. We get our English word scandal from that. And the root of this word has to do with blocking something or trapping something, and with the purpose of ruining that person's reputation, causing them to stumble and hurt their Christian testimony there, to discredit or disgrace someone or an organization there. And this word has to do sometimes with birds that are caught in a snare. And so there's food there, and they think that they're going in to have something to eat, and they're disillusioned because there's a trap that is set there. And the Christian life is not an escape from troubles. There are going to be some snares. There are going to be some difficulties that we face. But when it talks about stumbling here, it talks about falling and being a bad example to others and not representing Christ well. And when we think about that other meaning, you know, does it offend you or offend me that people would say, kneel at our national anthem? Well, for me personally, that offends me. It doesn't cause me to stumble in my Christian faith, but it irritates and annoys and even angers me because I have a father and brothers who represented our country and the flag for which we stand and salute and say the Pledge of Allegiance and sing the national anthem. That means a lot. So it irritates me when people disrespect that. But that's not what it's talking about here. It's talking about stumbling here. And so Jesus said, I've spoken these things to you that you should not stumble. And so whatever people are doing or saying something, don't let it cause you to stumble in your faith, in your trust, in your walk with God. Keep walking with Him. Don't let it stumble. Well, he goes on to say there's another concern about their responses, and sometimes it brings sorrow. Jesus said in verse 6, but because I have said these things to you, sorrow hath filled your heart. And he had told them in verse 4 that he was going to go away, he was going to send a comforter, but yet his words caused many people to sorrow there. And isn't sorrow so prevalent today in our society? And here they were focusing on who was missing. And Jesus is going to be gone. And oftentimes when people are focusing on the things they don't have, the things that they're missing, the people that they're missing, and we miss people that we love when they die. But our focus should not be on all the things that are missing. Our focus should be on what is present. And Jesus says, I'm going to be leaving and you're going to miss me, but I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and He's going to be with you, and He's going to be the comforter. And don't people really need to know how to handle sorrow? Today, there's so much sorrow in our world, and people are turning to drugs and all kinds of things, trying to rid themselves of overwhelming sorrow. Well, Jesus said in verse 17, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. And that word expedient is a Greek word that means to bring together. And Jesus' purpose is to bring us together as believers. When we get into the next chapter, we'll see where Jesus prayed that we might be one even as the Father is one. And so his desire is that we might be united. And since Satan is opposing and is the opposite of everything Jesus does and wants, Satan is a divider. And he will use anything to divide. Even the example I mentioned about the flag and kneeling or standing or mask or not mask, he'll use anything he can to divide and separate. And Jesus said, it's expedient for you that I go away, because He's going to bring people together, because there's a common bond that we have as believers, that we are all indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. Romans says, if any man have not the Spirit of God, he's none of his. So every believer, for the person who just believed in Christ yesterday, and for you if you've been saved 50 years. The Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit, is in that newborn Christian, is in that mature and aging Christian there. And many people today are falling apart because of sorrow, and they don't know how to deal with it. And Jesus says, I want to address this. I'm going to send a comforter to you. So in his precautions, he talks about concerning their responses to the words of Christ, and then he talks about concerning their responses to the world's response to the believers. And whenever we as believers, when we speak forth the words that Jesus was speaking, and we should give the message that Jesus gave, and the world is not always going to be receptive of that. And Jesus tells us there are two things that might happen from the world whenever you proclaim God's word, whether you're doing it from a pulpit, whether you're doing it to a neighbor. There are two things that might happen to you, and the first one is in verse 2. He says, they shall put you out of the synagogues. And so the first thing Jesus says that they might do is they might expel you. You might lose your job if you take a stand for the words of Christ. You might be expelled from positions in society if you take a stand there. And if that happens, if we get kicked out of society or lose our job, better that it be for standing for Christ than for being scandalous by being, you know, stealing from the company or doing something sinful there. And Jesus says, they're going to come and they're going to kick you out of church. I want to share something with you. I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, have probably followed what's going on with Grace Community Church in Los Angeles, Pastor John MacArthur. And let me just read you a little bit of things that are going on out in California. You say, well, that's California. We kind of expect it to be more liberal and things going on out there. But they start there and they end up in the East Coast as well. It says, Grace Community Church has been the target of unconstitutional religious discrimination by the city of Los Angeles and the state of California amid the state's order to cease in-person church assembly indefinitely. You get that? They said, you cannot meet. They were told they can't do what we're doing right here in our sanctuary this morning. Jenna Ellis, the senior legal advisor of the Trump 2020 presidential campaign, and constitutional law attorney Charles Lamandry, they're heading up the legal team for Grace Community. And here's what they said. I'll read a quote from them, the attorneys, and I want to read one from John MacArthur. They said, Grace Community Church has every right to assemble without impossible and unreasonable infringement from the state, and the state has absolutely no power to impose the restrictions it is demanding. Church is essential, and the government has no power to arbitrate whether religious organizations are essential. This is not about health and safety. It is about targeting churches. The Thomas More Society claims calling the state's orders illegitimate, overbroad, and unconstitutional there. And then MacArthur goes on to say this. This is not the first time we as Christ Church have stood for truth. We will continue to stand firm for the truth today like we have every prior day in our 63-year history and as the biblical New Testament church has done for more than 2,000 years, MacArthur said. We stand firm to continue fulfilling our biblical mandate from Christ to proclaim the gospel and assemble together. And I earnestly hope that our stance will encourage other pastors, churches, and the general public across America and the world to also stand firm for biblical truth. Church is essential there. Jesus said that they're going to put you out of the synagogues here. And we see it happening here, there in America today. He warned that these things would happen there. And so don't be surprised. Don't quit. Keep doing what God has said and don't let the fear of man, the Bible says the fear of man brings a snare, but we will continue to follow what the Lord has done. He said something else might happen to you. Not only might they kick you out of church and tell you you can't worship God, but they might kill you. Well, To me, that would be better than telling me I can't go to church because I'll be forever in church when I get to heaven. But in verse 2, it says that whosoever killeth you will think that he does God service there. And they think that murder is not only acceptable to God, but if they are killing a Christian, they're doing God a favor. Well, not the God that we serve. They think they're doing their God a favor. Remember the Apostle Paul before he got saved? He was going around doing the very thing. He was killing Christians and putting some of them in prison there. And Jesus says, don't be surprised. And shortly after Jesus left, here was Paul doing that, or Saul at the time was doing that. And these people are doing that today. They are thinking they're honoring their God by killing Christians. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And whenever we stand without exception and say there's no other way to get to heaven, no other way to get to God, there are going to be even religious people that hate that thought and will even try to kill us. And a lot of times some of these religions equate Americans with Christians. Now we as true believers in Christ, we know well that being American doesn't make you a Christian. And so they think the same thing. Many of them do. And so it's a lack of knowledge of God. Look at verse 3. It says, and these things they will do unto you because, here's why they're going to put you out of the church, and here's why they're going to kill you, because they have not known the Father nor me. They serve a God, but they're not serving God the Father. They're not serving Jehovah, Yahweh, the God of the Old Testament, and they're not serving Jesus. And they're going to do that, he says, because they don't have knowledge of God. They don't know him. So don't be surprised when unsaved people who are oftentimes pawns in the hands of the devil, when they try to kick us out of church or even kill us. Our responsibility is to be true to the Word of God, and Jesus has given us some precautions here of the responses that it might generate when we speak the Word of God. And then he goes on to give the purpose of the Holy Spirit. And as we look at the purpose of the Holy Spirit, and there are many, many things that the Holy Spirit does for us as believers, but in this passage, there are three things, and they're signified by three verbs that we see in this passage. The word reprove in verse 8, the word guide in verse 13, and the word glorify in verse 14. And so as we look at those things, we see that the Holy Spirit has a purpose to the world, he has a purpose to believers, and he has a purpose to Jesus. And we're going to see those three things and these three verbs as we move on and look at this. First of all, his purpose to the world. It tells us there that he has come, first of all, to reprove of sin in verse 8. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin. And that means to prove that the world is wrong, that sin is wrong. When the Holy Spirit comes, that's one of the things he's going to do. The Holy Spirit is the one who makes people feel guilty for doing wrong. And we can't convince people to get saved and know that they're sinners. We can share Christ and the Word of God with them, but the Holy Spirit works in their hearts and he convinces them and he reproves them of sin there. And so 2 Timothy 3:16 says, the Word of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. And the Holy Spirit does that. The Word of God, you know, as one person said, tells us what's right and what's not right, how to get right and how to stay right. That's what 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us there. In verse 9, Jesus said, of sin, because they believe not. So the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to convict the world of sin because they don't believe. They don't believe in God the Father, God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, or even the Holy Spirit that he's going to send. And that is the only sin that sends a person to hell, not believing in Jesus as Savior. That sends people to hell. The only thing, he's the only way out of hell. He's the only way to God there. So the purpose of the Holy Spirit to the world is to reprove the world of sin and also to reprove the world of righteousness there. And so Christ is our righteousness. And so we stand for the righteousness of Christ. We're not saved because of our own righteousness there. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. And the only way for us to be righteous is for God to take the righteousness of Christ and put it in us. The Bible uses the word impute. He imputes his righteousness. So we are sinners from our birth, and the Holy Spirit convinces us of that. The Holy Spirit also comes to reprove the world of righteousness there. And then the third thing the Holy Spirit does to the world is to reprove the world of judgment in verse 8 as well. And then verse 11 says, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Aren't you glad for that? The old devil, he's judged. So the Holy Spirit comes, and he's going to reprove the world of sin by telling what's wrong. He's going to reprove the world of righteousness to tell how you can get righteous. And he's going to reprove the world concerning judgment. A judgment for those who have done wrong, who have sinned. Judgment for those who have been declared righteous by faith in Christ. So the Holy Spirit is there to tell us what's wrong. He's there to tell us what's right. And then he tells us the consequences of each one of those. The consequences of sin, the judgment is there, is eternal damnation, separation from God. The judgment concerning righteousness, those who accept the righteousness of Christ, is eternal glory with God the Father there. And so man is free to choose, am I going to choose to stay in sin, or am I going to choose to accept the righteousness of Christ? And we're free to choose. But the consequence, the judgment, the third thing the Holy Spirit does, we're not free to choose that. If man chooses not to repent of his sin, his judgment is eternity in hell. If he chooses to accept the righteousness of Christ, his judgment as he stands at the judgment seat of Christ, as it's called, is to receive rewards for the things he's done in his body after he trusted Christ as there. And so we thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit and his work in the world. Well, he also has come to work in the believer. For you and for me, those of us who are saved, what does the Holy Spirit do? Well, one thing he does is in verse 13, he reveals the facts. All truth, it says. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. All doesn't mean just religious truth. He also reveals to us truth about science, truth about nature, because we see that those things must be consistent with the Word of God. And the Word of God is the basis for all of our thinking, for our philosophy, for our education. How do we deal with sorrow, as we mentioned earlier? What about morality? What about rearing children? What about discipline? You know, the Word of God. There. God gives us his word and the Holy Spirit for us as believers. It says he will come and he will guide you into truth. Remember, to the world, it was to reprove. To the believer, it is to guide. God has given us the word of God and he's given us the Spirit of God. And our guidance as we make decisions as believers about many different things, not just about doctrinal issues, the Holy Spirit guides us according to his word. And the Holy Spirit is true to the word of God, and he's not going to guide people differently concerning the truth of Scripture there. And so the second thing he does for us as believers, he reveals the Father. It tells us that the Holy Spirit does not come to boast of himself. He doesn't come to advertise the Holy Spirit or to boast of the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. His purpose is not to boast of himself. His purpose is to reveal the Father. Verse 13 clearly says, he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So that's the third thing the Holy Spirit does for us as believers. He reveals the future. Now, not all of the future, and I'm kind of glad. I don't think I want to know all of the future things here on earth, but God has given us through the scriptures everything that we need to know about the future so that we don't fear it. And so we need not fear, we need not live in sorrow there, because the Holy Spirit will show us things to come. And we cannot understand the future, especially if you're reading prophecy, whether Old Testament or the book of Revelation, without the Holy Spirit. He is our guide. He reproves the world, and he guides the believer into the truth concerning things to come. And so having the Holy Spirit to guide us into the scriptures is more important than having a formal education in a seminary or a Bible college there. Those things are wonderful and good, but without the Holy Spirit, they're not good. The Holy Spirit is the one who guides us there. And the Holy Spirit, of course, is a person. You see, he, in verse 13, he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you there. The Holy Spirit is not just a force. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He is God the Spirit, and he's showing us things to come. And one of the things he shows is Jesus is coming. What if it were today? Well, the Bible says in Thessalonians, comfort one another with these words. Who is comforted by the return of Jesus? Christians, not unsaved people, because when he comes, it's too late for them. But we are comforted with the return of Jesus. Well, we saw that the purpose of the Holy Spirit to the world is to reprove, to the believer is to guide, and to Jesus, twofold. First of all, is to elevate Christ. He uses the word glorify in verse 14. He shall glorify me, Jesus says. And so he is going to give proper recognition and honor. And that's what we do whenever we recognize someone, we honor them. We're not worshiping them in that sense, but we do it to a human. But this is what the Holy Spirit is going to do to Jesus there. And it's not about the Holy Spirit. As an example, remember the story of Abraham sending his servant to get a bride for Isaac? It doesn't even tell us the name of the servant there. And many, many times in that passage, many chapters in Genesis, the servant speaks of Abraham as my master, my master, my master. And I had a message on that a long time ago there, but check that out if you will. And it wasn't about the servant there. It was about getting a bride for Isaac there. It wasn't his own cause, but it was the cause of the master who sent him. And the Holy Spirit says, I have come not for my own cause, not to be glorified, not to be exalted, not to get all the credit, but I've come that I might elevate Christ. So all of the gifts of the Spirit that we read about in Ephesians there, and we don't have time to go in, that's many, many messages there. The gifts of the Spirit are to elevate Christ. They're not to cause us to get pats on the back, to elevate self. They're not even to glorify the Holy Spirit. They are to elevate Christ. All of our spirits, gifts of the Spirit should elevate Christ. And then secondly, to expound on Christ. Notice what he says in verses 14 and 15. Jesus says, he, the Holy Spirit, shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Notice the word show. It occurs three times in these two verses. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore I said, he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. And so he's going to take those things and he's going to show it. He's going to show you the attributes of Christ. He's going to show you the purpose of the church. He's going to show you about salvation, that it's by faith in Christ. He's going to take all these things that Jesus has said and he's going to reprove the world by using the Word of God. He is going to guide believers by using the Word of God. And he's going to glorify Christ by using the Word of God here. And in verse 15, we actually see the Trinity here. It says, all things that the Father, there's God the Father, hath are mine. That is Jesus speaking. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and show it to you. So we see this wonderful triune God there. And each one of them has a purpose. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. The Holy Spirit's purpose to believers is to guide us into truth. And the purpose toward Jesus is to elevate him and expound on him, to show these things. The word show that I mentioned to you that's here three times is the word anangelo. And right in the middle of that Greek word is the word angel, or our English word angel. And the word means messenger. And that's what angels were. They were messengers of God. So this word that it says that he's going to show you these things, it means to tell back a message. So that Greek word means to tell back. And the Holy Spirit is coming to remind us, to tell us back the things that Jesus told us, to tell us back the things that God the Father said in the Old Testament when he said, thus saith the Lord, the Holy Spirit is coming to show us as a messenger about sin and the judgment on it, about righteousness and the judgment on it, and also to exalt the Lord. So as we look at the conclusion of this, the Holy Spirit, as Jesus is talking about, as we kind of apply it to our own lives, since the purpose of the Holy Spirit to Jesus, now we saw the Holy Spirit's purpose to the world is to reprove and to believers is to guide, but since the purpose of the Holy Spirit for Jesus is to elevate him and to expound on him, to tell more about him, and since the Holy Spirit, if we're saved, he dwells within us. If the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to elevate and expound Christ and he lives in us, then we can draw a natural conclusion from that, can't we? Then our lives, we should elevate and expound on Jesus because that's why the Holy Spirit came. That was his purpose to Jesus. And isn't that what the world needs today? The world needs more about Jesus, more about Jesus. You know, we sing about that, and that's what our world needs because it doesn't know how to deal with sorrow. It doesn't know how to deal when people preach the truth of righteousness like John MacArthur and many other biblical churches are doing today. The world doesn't know how to respond to that. They need to know more about Jesus. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit being in you and in me so that we can expound on Christ and elevate him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God and for the Spirit of God. And we pray that you would help us as believers that we might be bold to proclaim the truth. Lord, we are told in the Scriptures that we see even in our nation today that people may hate us. They may forbid us from worshiping in church. They may even execute us. But Lord, you've commanded us to be faithful. And there is judgment against sin, and there is judgment for righteousness' sake. And we thank you for that. So help us to be bold as the Holy Spirit lives within us, that we would be bold to elevate Christ no matter the consequences, and bold to continue telling more about him and the wonderful salvation and peace and comfort and joy and blessing that people have when they turn to him for salvation. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.